Are we ready? And it's 7 o'clock.
Yeah, I think that's fine.
Okay. Good evening, everyone. My name is Joan Bealey, and I'm the chairwoman for the Planning and Zoning Commission. As indicated in the agenda for this meeting, there is going to be no in-person public access. The dial-in conference number, a call number, was provided for the commission members, applicants, and other interested persons to participate. For those listening, I would like you to ask you to mute your phones if you are able to do so, and not to, so this way we won't get any background noise here or recording. Commission members should not mute their phones. I have two very important reminders. First, every time you speak, you must state your name and the title for the record. Second, we must be careful not to speak over one another so that everyone is listening can hear what is being said and we have a clear record. For this reason, when it comes time for the commission members to comment and ask questions about a particular agenda item before any action is taken, and then to vote on the agenda item, our planner, Maureen Giese, will call for the roll. Also, this meeting is being recorded, and the recordings will be posted on the town's website. I'm now going to ask Maureen to take attendance by calling the roll for the commission. Thank you.
John Michael O'Brien.
John Michael O'Brien.
Okay. Not present.
Not present.
Curtis Holtman.
Here.
Excellent. Diane Joycey.
Here.
Thank you. Timothy Zygmunt.
Yep, I'm here.
Thank you. Brian Rogan.
Here.
Thank you. Steve Wallman.
I'm here.
Steve Biella Jr.
I'm here.
And Chairman Joan Bealey.
Here.
Okay.
All right, now that we've called the meeting to order, the first item coming up is for commission business. The first item within it is in accordance with Connecticut General Statutes 824, review and recommendations to the town council regarding granting an easement to CNG to provide gas lines and service Carlin train station project.
Apologize.
Maureen, what do we have on this?
So the town council reviewed this at their meeting of, it's on the back side of my print, March 3rd, 2020, to send this to the Planning and Zoning Commission for review and recommendation. CNG requires an easement in order to install and provide service in the lines in the new Boulevard Road and to the project, the TOD project, off Farmington Avenue. In the packet of information, for the most part, the gas line, it's kind of a light yellow-green color and runs alongside the blue line. That's another utility. I knew what utility that was earlier today.
That's okay.
But on my print, I can't see it. But it's the utility going up and through and into each of those new buildings and in the roadway to then be able in the future to access further out, get more development down there.
Okay, so basically this is just for be able to run the gas.
Exactly.
Okay. Commissioner,
do you need a motion?
Yes, I would need to have a motion.
This is Jennifer Coppola, the town's attorney, the commission's attorney. Whoever just spoke, could you please just state your name for the record? Just remember to do that each time you speak. I'm sorry for interrupting.
No problem.
Go ahead.
This is Steve Wallman, commissioner. Just wondering, do we need to make a motion for that?
Yes, we will need a motion on this to send it because it is a it is an 824. So basically, we're giving the go ahead for the council to be able to consider the easement.
Okay.
Jennifer Coppola again.
Yes,
the record
okay, hold
should
on.
Reflect that those comments were Joan Veeley. Go ahead, Steve.
Sorry.
Steve Wollman, Commissioner, making a motion to approve the 824 allowing CNG to provide gas lines and service to the Berlin Train Station TOD project.
Diane Dorsey, second.
Seconding.
All right, second goes to Diane Dorsey. Okay, sorry about that, Tim.
That's all right.
All right, so we're going to call for a vote on this then, and Maureen's going to do the roll on that, okay?
Curtis Holtman?
Aye.
Diane Joycey?
Aye.
Timothy Zygmunt?
Aye.
Brian Rogan?
Aye.
Steve Wollman?
Aye.
Steve Biella Jr.?
Aye.
And Chairman Joan Veeley?
Aye.
Thank
Maureen,
you.
Maureen, this is Chris Ed that just jumped on the line as well.
Okay, I'm sorry. Who just got onto the line?
Sorry, it's Chris Ed.
Oh, Chris Edge, economic developer. Okay, so this has been unanimously approved by the commission, for the record. Okay, the second item, B, is to consider a motion to allow the acting town manager to administratively apply extension time for applications as allowed in Governor Lamont's executive order number 77I, number 19, as necessary in the interest of public participation and health during the COVID-19 emergency, and allowing the acting town planner to subsequently schedule with due notice pending matters on upcoming agendas. I'm sorry, I'm having a problem reading today, Maureen, says the chairperson, Joan Veeley. So, Maureen, what do we have on this?
All right, Maureen Giusti speaking. The executive order that Governor Lamont signed, 7I, includes language that allows up to 90 additional extension days on land use applications, as provided for in that executive order. And what I'm suggesting is that during this time, not knowing when we may get another order that has us not come out, not have meetings, not be able to get new information, the method by which we may have public hearings, et cetera, that I be allowed to administratively apply that extension time if necessary. For the record, we would be asking the applicants to work with us to utilize their initial 65 days of extension time first, which is at their request, but this 90 days can be applied by the commission if necessary during this time period. And then in the interest of once we have more of a handle on the types of meetings we'll be having and feel we can have meetings with proper notice and participation, that I then be able to hit the ground running and just schedule those public hearings rather than call for the vote to schedule the public hearings right off the bat when we start again.
Okay, terrific. Thank you. Any questions from the commissioners?
No, Commissioner Dorsey. I'll make a motion to allow the acting town planner to administratively apply extension time in accordance with Governor Lamont's Executive Order 7I-19 until its expiration.
All right.
Commissioner Morgan, I'll second that motion.
Second, who has the second?
Brian Rogan.
Brian, okay, thank you. Any further discussion? Hearing none, I'll ask Maureen to take the roll call for the vote.
Curtis Holtman?
Aye.
Diane Joycey?
Aye.
Timothy Zygmunt?
Aye.
Brian Rogan?
Aye.
Steve Wollman?
Aye.
Steve Biella Jr.?
Aye.
And Chairman Joan Vili.
Aye. Okay, it's unanimous as well. Thank you. On to the approval of the minutes for March 5th, 2020. Did everyone have a chance to review the minutes?
Nope. Steve Wollman, Commissioner, I have to recuse myself.
Okay. Thank you, Steve.
Diane Jorsey, move to approve.
Motion to approve the minutes March 5th, 2020, as written.
Okay, Mr. Zygmunt, we'll give you the motion on that. Diane, did you want
to take a second?
Take a second. Thank you, Diane. All those in favor? Aye.
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 I don't think
doing a roll.
We'll call in a minute.
I'll just quick roll call.
Quick roll
for the
call.
Record.
Sorry, guys.
Holtman?
Yeah, aye.
Jorsey?
Aye.
Zygmunt?
Aye.
Hogan?
Aye.
O'Brien, aye. If you said O'Brien, it might have been a glitch.
Oh, I actually said Viella, but I don't think he was at that meeting.
Okay, I'm sorry.
Okay.
Great.
And I'm sorry, John.
And Joan.
And, okay, and I say aye. But is that John Bryan on the line now?
Yes, I am.
Oh, okay, so you came, you did get in. Okay, thank you.
Yeah.
All right, so we'll mark you as joining the meeting at 7:11. Thank you.
Perfect.
All right, the next item on the agenda was the public hearings, which is continued, and the public hearings will not be going forward, and a date will be noticed and posted for the public hearings, and that one that was under consideration was the zone change application of attorney Richard Pentor on behalf of the Shuttle Meadow Country Club Incorporated to change the zone of the portion of Lot 1, Block 10, 51 Rand Acres Lane, and Lot 93, Block 10, Wigwam Road from residential R43 to planned residential 2. And that is going to be tabled and or continued. And we're not sure with everything that's happening with this virus when we're going to be able to actually all get together again and figure out a way to do this where we could see visuals and plans and maps and stuff. So until then, everyone's hanging in there. Next up is
this is Maureen for the record that we did get that the extension as well as acknowledgement that we may have to dip into the 90 days from Attorney Pentor on that matter.
Excellent. Excellent. Anything else that you need to add to that?
No, I do want to note that with John Michael O'Brien here, Steve Biello will no longer be seated unless needed
for a particular item. Okay. All right. Terrific. And so we didn't need any kind of motion on that. Or they're continuing, correct?
No.
All right. Okay. So next up is the request for bond reduction. Request of Patrick Snow, manager of Finishers Court, LLC, for reduction of a soil erosion and sedimentation control bond at Finishers Court, 319 May Street, East Berlin. And what do we have on the bond reduction? Is everybody happy? Maureen.
So this is Maureen Juicy. The three multifamily buildings have all been received their certificates of occupancy. There is some site work yet to be done on the project. However, we have received a site bond for that.
Mm-hmm.
The soil erosion control bond figure was reduced by the Deputy Director of Public Works with his recommendation for the new bond amount reduced to $5,720. The existing bond that we're holding for the soil is $12,430.
Okay.
This is Steve Wollman, Commissioner. Maureen, a quick question. I kind of broke up there a little bit, but is there a bond in place for landscaping, grass, and that type of stuff? Because it doesn't look all that great currently.
Yes, I'm sorry. That's what the site bond is. He finished the buildings themselves during the winter months, and still had some work to do. So we got a separate site bond. That's for finishing the work that is related to the site plan.
Okay, so that you keep breaking up. I don't know if it's my phone or you. So that is related to grass, landscaping, flowering, bushes, correct?
Yes, and the rain gardens, any paving and curbing that's not done. I don't have that bond in front of me, but those are the items that we put on. They're on a site bond. They're not allowed to be on a soil erosion bond.
Okay, thank you.
Any other questions from the commission? And we need a vote on this as well. So do we
need
have
a motion?
Yes, please.
Commissioner Jorsey, I'll make a motion to release the bond with the exception of the balance to remain for as suggested by staff.
Okay. And that was the 5,720, correct? I believe that it's coming down to.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, so it's bond reduction.
Okay, do we have a second to Ms. Jorsey's motion?
I'll second that motion, Commissioner Rogan.
Okay. Thank you, Brian. And further discussion, all those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Okay, we're going to do the roll call on that as well. Sorry, guys. This is also new for all of us.
John Michael O'Brien?
Yes, I'm glad I made it. I tried.
Ben?
Could you hear me?
No, couldn't hear the vote.
I heard John Michael O'Brien say yes.
Yes.
Okay, Curtis Holtman?
Yes.
Diane Jorsey?
Aye.
Timothy Zygmunt?
Aye.
Brian Rogan?
Aye.
Coleman?
Aye.
And Chairman Joan Bealey?
Aye. Okay, thank you. So that's unanimous. All right, on to the new business. Item A is a facade application of Oshi LLC, Coles Road Brewing. Yum, yum. 17 mm-hmm. Farmington Avenue.
Thank you, Chairman Bealey.
I'm sorry?
I said thank you.
Okay. Is that
this is Jennifer Coppola. Forgive me.
We've been waiting too long for this one.
Oh, okay.
Is that Chris Edge speaking? Again, this is Jennifer Coppola. Is that Chris Edge? Okay, Chris, we just needed you to identify yourself. Thank you.
Every time, this is Maureen. Chris, yep. Every time you speak, and I guess, John, you were also not here. At the beginning of the meeting when it was announced, please identify yourself every time you speak after someone else speaks and keep the record clear.
Okay. All right, so what do we have? And as far as, I guess it's Chris Edge. Chris, are you fielding this one for us, the facade application?
Chris Edge, yes, I am.
Okay, terrific. And I have the information in front of us, and can you just sort of give us an idea of this application, what it's looking for, or presentation?
Chris Edge, yes. Essentially, it is similar to the application we had seen about 2 years ago. Coles Road Brewery and the owner, Oshi LLC, have come forward with a facade application, which is going to include an outside patio / deck. It's going to be of a wooden material. It's going to have on the above side, I'm not sure exactly what you would call it, but essentially it's not just an open deck. They're going to be putting in a new door. There's currently a garage door. It's going to be more of an ornate door. And they're also going to be putting gooseneck and other lighting on that side of the Farmington Avenue side of the building.
Okay. Terrific. And are they going to, that deck that they're going to be putting out there, are they going to coordinate off? Or is it going to be like a little half wall, maybe a state fencing or something? Do we know what's on that plan?
Chris Edge, I am not certain. I will be reaching out to them for more specifics if it is approved this evening.
Okay.
Because I know that they.
The description in the package describes black aluminum railing.
Yeah. Okay.
That will tie in with the business in with the streetscape theme. I think they are intended to coordinate with the railroad.
Yeah.
Fencing, maybe not exactly the same, but to be of the same tone.
Yeah. Steve Wallman, Commissioner, if you go to the last page of their filings, you'll see the fencing and what they plan to put up.
Yes, Steve, and I see that you're in the picture. That's very nice.
Yeah, I had it planned that way, John.
Oh, yeah, I see. Well, who's the long one? Yeah, thank you for pointing that out to me, Steve.
No problem.
The screen again, the pictures that were submitted are the existing and proposed that were from 2014 maybe,
yeah.
2016, when the initial applicant for Concentric Brewing came in with the presentation, and my understanding is the current proprietors do not expect to change it much, that they're still seeking to have it be of the same style and tone.
Yeah.
Maybe with little tweaks for their own business.
Yeah, and landscaping too. Yeah. Okay. All right. Gooseneck lighting. I think we have some samples of the outdoor lighting that they're looking at as well. And patio lights as well. Okay. So he just needs an approval of this or to go ahead. Do we have questions from any of the commissioners regarding this proposal?
Commissioner Jorsey, just one. The question that I have is there's a rectangular what looks to be either a halogen or a bright LED light.
Yes,
in which direction is that going to be facing?
Chris Edge, I believe that is the one that's going to be facing on top of the patio, but I can verify that with our town planner once I speak to the applicant.
So my concern is only that it not be directed in a way to be blinding traffic.
Chris Edge, that makes a lot of sense.
This is Maureen. I had thought that one was the one for the parking area. They were in the original approval. There was adequate lighting to be directed at the parking area. But my recommendation for this approval, I was going to make two recommendations: that the lights do comply with the regulations, specifically regarding dark sky and spilling over and out of the lot as as required by the regulations, that not happen, and that the decorative lighting, if approved, to be only on when the patio is in use during business hours.
Oh, that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, any other questions from the commission? All right.
Chris Edge, I just want to mention one thing, just a quick update, that they are currently brewing beer. They are very excited. They're hoping as soon as we get beyond this coronavirus, they're planning on opening up and becoming a big part of our community. So the inside is completely finished. This is really the last piece of it. They're actually playing Mad Scientist right now with the beer. And so this last piece of it, once the weather and the governor and others let us do it again, they're excited to have us out on the patio and inside the brewery drinking Berlin-made beer.
Well, are they thinking about, like, handing out samples to passersby? Drive-through?
Chris Edge, I think we should do a special planning and zoning only tasting before they open up.
Yeah,
right. Brian, I'd love that.
All right, I think I had a second to that somewhere. All right. Okay. Any other further serious questions for the applicant? I think everyone's got a growing excitement about this, and I think we all wish them a lot of success, and we want them to succeed and make something really a great hangout for us folks. Anyway, all right. So anyone have a notion to make a motion?
Commissioner Jorsey, I'll make a motion to approve.
Okay, thank you, Diane. And do we have a second with any stipulations or anything that we need to, is there anything we need to add into that?
Well, subject to staff comments and subject to the lights being directed away from the roadway.
Okay, yeah. All right. We have a motion. Do we have a second?
Commissioner Holtman, second.
Okay, thank you. All right, so Holtman has the, Holtman. All right, so we're going to do a roll call on this. All right, so I don't mess it up.
John Michael O'Brien?
John Michael?
Do you hear me? I'm sorry, aye. Could you hear me?
Yeah. We couldn't at first.
Okay.
Curtis Holtman?
Aye.
Diane Jorsey?
Aye.
Timothy Zimmer?
Aye.
Brian Rogan?
Aye.
Steve Wallman?
Aye.
And Chairman Joan Bealey?
Aye. Okay, we've got it unanimous. All right. So, Chris, you got some work ahead of you, and give them the good news. On to the last item of the agenda is the review.
Chris Edge, I want to say thank you to everybody. Keep your eyes out tomorrow. We are having something called Eat Local, Win Local. Eat local restaurants at least two places. You send us your receipt. You can put in for a gift card of $25. So check an eye out for it, and everybody have a great night. Thank you.
And when does that contest start, Chris?
Tomorrow. For three weeks.
I ordered something yesterday. All right. Okay, you got it. Thank you, Chris. Have a good night.
Thank
Jumping
you
off. And now for the review and the approval of the Berlin Lions Agricultural Fair Incorporated for the 2020 Fairgrounds event, 410 Beckley Road. I believe we have Attorney Joseph Dornfried with us. Mr. Dornfried, you still with us?
I am, and we also have Melinda Henson, who is in charge of the demolition derby for us. This is Joseph Dornfried, and the application is all of the events that will be on the fairgrounds. There's no new events that have been added other than the demolition derby, which we have moved as a part of the Berlin Fair and proposing it to be a separate event. That will be held in July. I did want to note that there are some events on the list that likely will not happen given the current situation. Like our wine tasting is likely, if it hasn't been canceled already, it will be canceled just because of the inability to plan for that given the current situation. We wouldn't be able to get the logistics together, sell the tickets, et cetera. But it's still on our list so that it continues when we bring it back next year.
Okay. Is there anything else that we need so everyone has a chance to look through the list?
Make a motion. Does Commissioner Sigma make a motion to approve?
Commissioner Morgan, I'll second that.
Okay, so Sigma has the motion second, but we have further comments from the staff, so let's hold for that vote.
I just wanted to ask Mr. Dornfried, it's my understanding that you may be adding some other events on an amended list. Let the commission know that that may happen, but that list wasn't finalized at the time of distribution, so that would just require an amended vote at a subsequent meeting.
Right. This is Joe Dornfried. Again, we after we submitted our original list in February, we got a request for a corporate picnic for Cisco from Rocky Hill, so that will come up in a subsequent meeting. And we've submitted something with information that will be circulated for comment, just as the original list had been.
And this is Maureen again, commenting, again, reiterating that the Demolition Derby this time is a standalone event, not part of the fair. and that the department comments were all attached, and I would appreciate staff would like those to become part of the motion, where the health district has commented that the food vendors must submit a temporary event food application to the Central Connecticut Health District with their fee, and the completed applications must be received 2 weeks prior to the event, otherwise late fees will be implemented. And the police chief made two pages of comments that the Board of Police Commissioners reiterated and referred to. The police chief comments substantially to do with the amount of traffic control and or police presence they need at each event.
Okay, so do we have the motion? Do we have the motion amended and the second?
Motion amended. This is Commissioner Zygmunt. Motion amended with staff comments and chief police comments.
Okay,
this is
and the second?
This is Commissioner Rogan. I'll second that motion.
Okay. Rogan? And any further discussion? All right, then we'll move for the vote. Maureen?
John Michael O'Brien?
Aye.
Curtis Holtman?
Aye.
Diane Joycey?
Aye.
Timothy Zygmunt?
Aye.
Brian Rogan?
Aye.
Steve Wallman?
Aye.
Chairman Vealey?
Aye. Okay, terrific. They have it. It's unanimous. All righty.
Thank
so
you.
Congratulations to the Lions Club. Thank you both for participating. Okay. So I think we have some, do we have some housekeeping before we let the commissioners go? I know we're looking at, Curtis, you must be thrilled. It's only 7:33.
We should do this all the time. It's faster this way.
Hearing from this end, we've got paper shuffling all over the place.
I bet. I got a computer. I just click on the document. It's great.
Well, we should all get computers from the town and click on our documents.
Well, maybe we should, right? You know?
Oh, I'm with you. I'm with you on that one. Okay, I think...
this is Maureen. There had been some discussion about having meetings. I've got some feedback on that to perhaps move up the time. That may be an issue with bylaws and whatnot, and I don't know if Jennifer's still on, but we're whether or not that can be done.
So Jennifer is still on, Jennifer Coppola for the record. Your bylaws, we're looking into whether or not they are, in fact, at the current copy still, right, Maureen?
No, the one I sent you today is...
It is, okay.
26.
So in order to move up the meeting time, your regular meetings are scheduled for 7 p.m., and so we would be canceling the regular meeting, and if we were to do an earlier meeting time, it would become a special meeting. So that's the way that we would need to proceed.
But isn't there a way for us to notice the meeting out if we give notice, say, 13 or 10 days in advance or even a week in advance of the meeting, and then we make it known that we're adjusting the time because of, the governor's executive orders and everything else, that we could change the time to a 5:30 conference call as long as we post it out in advance so that anyone who was interested, who wanted to call in on the conference call, would have that option.
Again, your meetings would then become special meetings because your regular meetings are scheduled for 7 p.m. So the regular meeting would have to be canceled for 7 p.m. and we would do a notice of special meeting. And in terms of the time frame that you're referring to, I think what you're referring to is the statutory time frame required for public hearings. That notice requirement has not been suspended. For those of you who may have read paragraph 19 of Executive Order 7I, I think that Maureen did distribute it to you. There is reference to certain notices, the time frame of them being changed, and the method of notice being changed. What has not been changed is, the notice for the public hearing. So it would still have to be noticed within the same time frame. But again, it would be, in order to move the time, you would be canceling the regular meeting, and we would be doing a notice of special meeting. And certainly, we could do that,
I'm
your choice.
Yeah, and this is Chairman Feely. I'm just hopeful that we can, push through April and then somehow start to regain a footing into some sort of level of normalcy. But I'm thinking we are faced with two problems. One is if we continue with this conference call meetings, the town hall is now closed at 4:30 on Thursdays due to this the COVID-19, and that leaves the town planner, acting town planner, here waiting for a 7 o'clock meeting by themselves in a facility that's not really manned. I'm thinking of her safety, and I'm also thinking of the group's participation. Folks are still. And 5:30 seems to be a good time. So if we have to do this on every time we look at a meeting, if we have to make a decision that we're going to go with a conference call as opposed to a regular meeting held in a room and everyone participating, physically being in that room, I think that's what we would have to do to try to help everybody out. The other thing that we have to look at realistically is that we do have applications that come in that have maps to roll out and site plans for us to look at and consider. And I'm not sure how we're going to be able to do this if we have to rely on conference calls. Now, some people have been looking into video conferencing, which is very unique, and it's used in a lot of places. People Skype, they do FaceTime, but I've been hearing some really nasty stories about some of the towns in the state that have actually been hacked into, and material was sent to people during meetings that.
This is Jennifer Coppola. So the towns have all been very active in determining, should this go on for a period of time. And there are many municipalities who really haven't skipped a beat because from an IT perspective, they've made use of video conferencing in the past. Mm-hmm. There's a number of considerations, the suspension of the open meeting requirements. There are a number of requirements that we need to comply with, which we are complying even through the holding of this conference call tonight. There is a recording, and you may have heard, everybody may have heard when they joined, and we commenced the meeting. There was a message that said the recording is starting now. One of the requirements is that a recording or a transcription be posted on the agency's website, so the town's website, in this instance, obviously, because you don't have a separate agency website, a recording or a transcription of the meeting be posted within 7 days. So in terms of the meeting materials, and Maureen included some language regarding this in your agenda, and you're going to see that language going forward. The meeting materials have to be available 24 hours in advance They have to be available during the meeting. They have to be available after the meeting. So all of your meeting packet materials are going to have to be uploaded to the town's website. Now, that does not mean, however, that if you are having a public hearing that someone cannot submit materials, during the course of the meeting. So that's a whole, area that, again, we're evaluating the technology to be used because we also have to, of course, give the opportunity to the public to be able to comment for public hearings and so forth. So, the technology, the various platforms are being looked at. It is accurate that I know there are news articles out there, and I know that there have been discussions amongst many of the towns about concerns with hacking and so forth. So all of it is being evaluated, and we will use the best technology that we can use. And we have to give consideration. I know that somebody said, well, I have a computer. Not everybody has a computer. And the important point about that is not everybody in the public has a computer. The public has to be able to either, and this is part of 7B, which was the suspension of the open meeting requirements. It's in paragraph 1 of Executive Order 7B. The public has to be able to view and listen, okay, in real time. So for folks that don't have a computer, they don't have a desktop computer, they don't have a laptop, there are folks that don't have smartphones either. They have to be able to have this conference call option too. So we have participated, Maureen and I, in webinars regarding the executive orders, and some of these technological concerns have been discussed. We're evaluating what is the best path because we want to make sure that your commission, all the members can participate fully, and we want to make sure that all the applicants, their consultants, their counsel, and the public could participate. So we mimic, the public hearing process as best as we can. These are very difficult times. There have been some 20 executive orders that have been issued since the governor declared the public health and civil preparedness emergency on March 10th. And many of the provisions in the executive orders impact municipal government. We're relying in part on input from our counterparts, throughout the state. Maureen is very active on the Planning Association's listserv. I'm very active on the municipal attorneys, the CAMA listserv, and monitoring. We're hoping that we're gonna choose a good path forward for you. We're readying to put things together so that you can hopefully start to have public hearings very soon. So we will continue to communicate with you with regard to that. I know that Maureen has shared again some information regarding the executive orders, and we'll continue to do that.
Okay. So what I'm hearing from you, or at least I'm understanding, is that we're gonna investigate perhaps over the next week or maybe less, and then we're gonna decide whether or not we can move forward with some sort of visual meeting. If not, we may actually have to look at canceling the meeting for the 16th of April if we're not able to make a compromise, either with the applicants holding off until we can get things resolved, because as you said, the public has to have real time to be able to look at all the information that's being presented, even if it's last minute, and assuming they don't have computers or smartphones or something, we have to make that a priority. So we're going to work on that. Maureen, I know that Jennifer, you're going to be working out with Maureen, but I'm also going to be in close contact with her, and I'm going to ask the commissioners at this point we end up doing just a conference call for our next meeting on the 16th. We'll get it posted out in advance, and if we have to, we'll cancel the regular meeting and make the special meeting on the 16th, but a conference call earlier in the day at about 5:30. And if we can't, if we have too many applicants at this time with too much, you know, visual material that's going to be floating around, and we're not able to have the meeting, we will get you. We will get in touch with you, and we will let you know that the meeting is canceled, either through text message or Gmail or you know, mail, or just a regular dropping a letter in the mail to you. But we will keep you informed, and we hope to keep you at least a week out in the time frame, so that as we make the decision, you guys will know. Okay? But I thought that you...
Should we do a, should we have a motion right now to cancel the scheduled meeting so that we can have a motion to schedule the special meeting at 5:30 right now?
We could actually we could do that. I mean, because we don't know what's going to be on the agenda for the next meeting. So if we want, I think we could do that. We could cancel this next meeting and then make a motion for a special meeting at the 5:30, and we'll call it a conference call, and then we'll see what we can, how we go from there. So that would take care of Part A, correct?
This is Jennifer Coppola. If the idea is that you're gauging sort of the interest in of the commission about the time of the meeting, then that's fine to make the motion. I would not include in it that the 5:30 meeting be a conference call, because we may find that we are able to do the video conferencing for the 16th. So, if you want to make a motion to cancel the regular meeting that's scheduled for 7 o'clock on April 16th and notice a special meeting for 5:30 on April 16th, then that's fine. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. And Mr. Rogan, did you hear all that?
I will make the motion to cancel the scheduled meeting at 7 p.m. on April 16th and to schedule a special meeting on April 16th at 5:30 p.m.
Okay, that works for me. And do we have a second for that?
Yep, Commissioner Jorsey, second.
Okay, second by Ms. Jorsey. Further discussion on that, gang? Is everyone pretty good with the 5:30 start time? We're going to do a roll call.
Yep.
Okay.
John Michael O'Brien?
Aye.
Curtis Holtman?
Aye.
Diane Jorsey?
Aye.
Timothy Zygmunt?
Aye.
Brian Rogan?
Aye.
Steve Wollman?
Aye.
And Chairman Joan Veeley?
Aye. All right, unanimous. All right. Okay. So I think that's a wrap for tonight. Unless you have something else, Maureen?
I don't believe I do.
Okay. I would love to hear a motion to adjourn.
Commissioner Jorsey, I'll make that motion.
Okay, Ms. Jorsey, thank you. Do we have a second? Mr. Wollman. Do we have a second, Mr. Holt?
It was Wollman or Holt?
Come on.
It was Steve. It was Steve Wollman.
Yes, okay. Steve Wollman, thank you. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Do we have any nays out there? No, we don't need a roll call on the motion, do we? No, it's unanimous. All right. Well, thank you all. We'll keep you posted. Mark your calendars on the 16th, and we'll let you know what's going on, okay?
Okay, stay well.
Yep,
stay safe, guys.
It's 7:50 p.m. Good night.
Good night.
Good night. Okay.
Okay, let me figure out how to stop the recording.
Stop
Hold
the
on.
Recording.